Thank you, Jack. Lots going on in our world today. Lots going on in our nation. A lot's going on in our city. And I wanted to open up this morning as we conclude with our sermon series, The Word of God is Like a Lion, and just tell you how amazed I am at how the Lord really does direct sermon series and texts, and they come at just the right time with the things that are going on in people's lives and in this world and in our country. But I wanted to start by simply saying, we acknowledge that this world is a dark place. We acknowledge, because God tells us, that this world is crooked and this world is depraved. And to see what is going on in our country, it just absolutely saddens myself. I know it saddens members of this church. It saddens the leadership. And I know it has to be addressed and it has to be commented on. And so that's what we want to do this morning. But I want to do it in simply looking at Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Because it is a beautiful picture of how God sees His church, the family, the body of believers. It is a beautiful patchwork, a beautiful collage, rich in its diversity. But to begin that, I would simply say to you, in our church family, we have black Christian members. We have Hispanic Christian members. We have Asian Christian members. We have white Christian members. But we must all come together, and we truly have to understand that black lives matter. We are just so saddened by the death of George Floyd and so many other things that have spiraled out of control. And what do you say? We simply see that what God's Word tells us will happen, will happen. In the last days, in the end times, things will go from bad to worse. And we see that in our society. And so, please, no matter what color you are, pray for our country. But I would also say, because of the reign of sin through Satan in our world, we are always going to have injustice. And we need to stand up against injustice. And we need to protest peacefully. But here's how God sees the human race, especially Christians who have found their oneness in Christ. We find in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "After this I looked up, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count," and listen to this, "from every tribe, every nation, every people, and every language. And they were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice together, 'Salvation belongs to the Lord.'" And so that is the picture in heaven of God's people coming together from every walk of life. So I say with my whole heart, from the eldership of this church, we acknowledge black lives matter. We acknowledge that there has been injustice done to the black community. But here at the Kentwood Christian Church, we value black lives, we value Asian lives, We value Hispanic lives. We value white lives. Because God's Word is what we set our lives as the foundation. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3, verse 28 says, when we come into the kingdom of God, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave nor free, but all are one in Christ. That is the desire of God's heart. So let us stand together and protest. Let that protest be peaceful. Let us do it in Christian love. And let our voices be heard, because we stand against injustice for anyone, anyone. And so Revelation 7:9, I think, is that standard of this is the community of believers that God brings together. And it is a beautiful patchwork, a beautiful collage of how He works through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ. If you're black and you love the Lord, you are my brother in Christ. If you are Asian and you love Jesus and have been washed in His blood, you are my brother. If you are Hispanic, you have believed in the Lord and confessed His name, you're my brother. And the same is true for anyone that's white. And if you're not cleansed and if you don't walk with Christ, you are still loved by the community here at Kentwood Christian Church. And we want blessing and justice for your life. But we also know that blessing and true justice does not come and will not come without you having a relationship with the Lord. And so I pray today that you would choose to have a relationship with the Lord. I don't know if I've said too much. I don't know if I've said too little. But I know that I've said what's on my heart. God is center in this church, and so is His Son, Jesus Christ. And we cling to the Word of God to live our lives by it. And we know that when anyone does that, God's blessing is on them. We will always have struggles in this world because of sin. But may we all rise together and declare our unity in Jesus Christ, His beloved church, as we let our light shine in this world. This morning, I want to talk about that light in the transforming power of Scripture. We have been talking over this whole month about the beauty of Scripture and what it does in our lives as it comes out of God. And in James 1, he writes, and his insight to us about God's Word is to really make sure that we do more than just hear it, but that we implement it into our lives. Just hearing the Word of God or knowing what God's Word says on matters is not enough. That doesn't transform. But we find out that whenever we come to God's Word and we take it into our hearts and spirits, we meet Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit, and salvation comes, and the transforming power of the Scriptures as we go to learn them and embrace them in our lives through the years truly changes us in a beautiful way as it makes us reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. And this is what James says, because it was the problem even back 2,000 years ago. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. James says, people deceive themselves all the time. They hear the word, they know somewhat about the word, but they don't enact the word in their lives. And he says, when that happens, people deceive themselves, because God wants that word lived out in our lives. Do what it says. You and I have been saved by the blood of Christ as I said last week, and we have been given this position, adopted as children of God. But after we are adopted and the saving work is done in our lives, there is that strong desire and passion for us as believers to seek God and to discover the things of God and find those things that please God. And that's what we want to live our life by. And that's what James is saying. Don't fool yourself. When you hear God's word, let it settle and take residence in your heart and do what it says. Live it out. He goes on, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at themselves in a mirror and then they go away and they forget what they look like. In other words, we hear the word of God, we don't embrace it for our lives, we just forget it. We listened, we heard, but it had no effect in our lives. And it's the same way as someone, if it's possible to see themselves in a mirror, then walk away and forget what they look like. Do not let yourself be deceived. We cannot let politics and all the social issues take us away from what is most important. And what is most important is for people to obey the word of the Lord. Obedience is important. We are not to forget the word. We are to obey the word. And I know you think, boy, you just keep repeating that, but I can't stress it enough for the lives of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that is, the word of God means so much to us because it leads us and it is that light for our path. Without it, we are lost because this world is dark. And we won't know where to go or what to do, but God's word guides us. James wraps up with this emphasis again in verse 25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Wow, what a lot of truth right there. God's word should be pursued. We look into it intently. We are students of Scripture, not just head knowledge, but passionately seeking what God's will and desire is for our lives, because we have said God's word cuts us and it pricks our hearts to the things that we are doing wrong and the way that we are dishonoring God. So much in this world would be solved if we just followed and loved God's word. I encourage you to take up your Bible daily. I talk to believers in their 80s, and they still find it challenging just to get in the Bible a little bit every day. It was encouraging to hear Jack Myers talk about he is closer to the Lord now than he's ever been. And if you know Jack, that's where he is in his walk with God. But that's not where we all are. We need to be in the Scriptures daily. We need to intently look into the Scriptures, because the Scriptures are what change the heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we should never forget. So I encourage you to be doers of God's word. In Luke 11, Jesus is teaching about God's word. And he is teaching in a way that this woman is just moved to shout out. And she's like, blessed is your mother who nursed you. I mean, you are such a great man, Jesus. You are saying such wonderful things. And your mother, she's so blessed. And Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. There's a lot of people that we would say they're blessings in our lives, our mothers, our fathers, grandparents, grandchildren. But Jesus sort of takes a pause and says to that woman, while the blessing of others in our lives may be true, dear lady, you, and let everyone else understand, the greatest blessing in life is the one who hears the word of God and obeys it. So this is a theme throughout Scripture, from Old Testament to New Testament. God has spoke. He has spoke in love. And let us hear His word and obey it. I pray that you will do that. I want to look at Matthew chapter 4 and share with you one more thing that Jesus says about God's word. In Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus says to those that are listening, it is written, you shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We see the physical and the spiritual. And Jesus is teaching again the importance of the word of God. Yes, we need bread and we need food to be sustained in life for our physical body. But you need the spiritual food, which is the Word of God in your life, to be sustained spiritually. Our big problem in this world is we've got too many people living on bread alone. And we need the Word of God, which is the Spirit of truth in our lives. And without it, we see all the chaos that we are seeing more and more as our world just seems to be unraveling. We cannot live on bread alone, but we live on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, I have food that you know nothing about, and my food is to do the will of God. Do you realize that in the New Testament, especially the epistles, those writers stress again and again, don't become weary of doing good. It's like we can live for the Lord a long time and we are so excited when we first come into relationship, but then as time goes on, we allow this world to begin to have its effect on our lives where it is transforming us to be like the world when God is wanting us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds to reflect who He is. And so, as Paul talks about Romans 12, he says this, therefore, I urge you, and I would urge you as well as I am urging myself in this message, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, that's where Paul starts out, because of what God has shown in His mercy by sending Jesus Christ to be the sin offering, to die on the cross, to give His life and provide atonement so that redemption could take place in the lives of believers who would confess in faith the name of Jesus Christ like these two young men did this morning. In view of that merciful act by God in the giving of His one and only Son, I urge you, because you're not doing it, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Well, back in Romans chapter 6, where Paul talks about baptism, he talks about baptism and reminds the believers of that time what it meant to them. They seem to have forgotten. He talks about the fact that you have a new life, you've crossed over from death to life, you have been united with Christ in His death, and you have been resurrected with Christ, and you will be ultimately resurrected in the heavenly realm with Christ, but you are to no longer offer your bodies as slaves to sin because of the position of what God has given you through the merciful act of Jesus Christ on the cross. You were baptized because you devoted your life to the Lord do not take that moment in your life for granted. Something spiritual happened, and that was you were given salvation. But also, there was a commitment to the life to be faithful until you died. That's the sanctification. And people were still living their lives, offering their bodies to sin. And Paul says, it should not be so. We are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, giving ourselves to righteousness in God. And the righteousness of God is the truths of God's word that pleases God. And I encourage you maybe to do a personal examination of your heart and to find yourself in a place with the Lord, maybe through repentance or confession, telling the Lord I've gotten off track, telling the Lord that I've allowed the world to influence me beyond what I should, and confess that, ask for forgiveness, and commit your lives to obedience of the Scripture, to doing what it says, to offering your body daily, continually, passionately, as a living sacrifice to God. That's what it means when it says God is our life. And that's what Paul meant in Romans chapter 6 as he looks back talking about, therefore, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. He goes on and then he says this in verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Why would you tell a believer not to conform to the pattern of this world unless it's possible to take your eye off the Lord, to drift away and begin to become something that God never intended you to be or to do? It happens all the time with people. So we must listen to Paul as he tells us God's word, and God says to all of us as children of God, do not conform to this world. I'm going to love people. Jesus says this is the greatest commandment. Love one another. Oh, I'm of the flesh and I have thoughts and my mind gets sidetracked and I get angry and I get upset, but hopefully God's word is the foundation of my life and it brings me back to my senses as the Holy Spirit says to me, Patrick, that is not the way to act. You be merciful to people. You be kind to people. You don't do harm to people. The same God that says don't murder is the same God that says don't steal. And you are to love people. You are to love people the way that Christ loved people. You are to sacrifice your life. You are to lay your life down. Oh, could you imagine a world where people laid down their lives for one another? Would we have any of the problems that we have in the world today? I don't think so. The only place that we partly see people laying down their lives for one another is in the house of God, the family of God. We still struggle, but that's the only place, because we're able to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray that your focus is on God's word and what he's called you to be, and that you don't conform to the way this world works, but you live your life because you're responsible for you and you alone, and you give that life on the altar of God as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And then this is how he closes. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We have to know God's will. And when we know it, we know what pleases God. We know it's the perfect word. And that's what we set our life to live. And whenever we do, it transforms our life. The Scriptures, through the power of God and the Holy Spirit, transform our lives. And so in Philippians 2 as he ends, "Therefore, my dear friends, brothers and sisters, Christian community, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." God has given you salvation. He's given you that position. It is yours. Now your part is the sanctification part. Your part is the doing part, to work it out in your thankfulness to Him. For it is God who causes you to will and act according to His purpose. Even in our part, the sanctification part, God is there helping us in that, moving in our lives to will and to act and to be according to His purpose. God's help is more than sufficient. It is all sufficient. And finally, in verse 14 through 16, listen to this. Paul says, "Do everything without grumbling or complaining, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation." Paul was dealing with a warped and crooked generation whenever he was proclaiming God and Jesus Christ. You and I, we're dealing with a warped and crooked generation. And no matter how good it gets, there will always be crooked and warped people in this dark world. There will be murder, there will be abuse, and there will be injustice. But the church is called to hold firmly, and that's what he says here at the end. You will shine like a star as you yourself hold firmly to the word of God. We are to be that beacon that reflects Christ, that in this unjust, dark, warped, depraved world, we are the light of the Lord that gives hope to those who would listen to the word of God. God bless each and every one of you, and may we all come together in love. Please, 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 let us all pray for our community. God bless you, and God bless the hearing of His word.